We're going to continue our chat with Lou Gentile about these ghosts and hauntings, but he's got some EVP sounds for you now that we're going to play this hour. So get ready on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with nationally syndicated talk show host and paranormal investigator Lou Gentile, and we're going to talk EVPs this hour. Lou, what kind of equipment do you take with you when you go on these EVP trips?
Well, I mean, most of the time when I go out, I bring all kinds of equipment. But for my electronic voice phenomena, I've managed to stick with the Panasonic RRDR60, which is what I'm actually taking the Amazing Randy's Challenge with. I had tried previously with things such as reel-to-reel, DAT, different computer frequencies and things of that nature. I mean, I've tried all kinds of things and did not get the amount of luck that I got or success that I had gotten with the Panasonic RRDR60.
When you come back and listen to the tape, I guess that's got to be unbelievably strenuous, where you have to just sit and listen and listen and listen for maybe hours at end?
Well, let me explain to you what I do. With the electronic voice phenomena that I get right now, I do this a lot as close to live, I think, than anybody else has been able to do and have a success ratio like I have. Because one thing you have to understand, in order to be able to take the Amazing Randy's Challenge, and one way to be able to do anything scientifically is to be able to have the phenomena repeat itself over and over again, which I think is one of the reasons why nobody's been able to take this challenge. I can get this phenomena every single time, and that's what makes it interesting. So when I turn my recorder on and hit record in a room, let's say, that is completely quiet, and let's say I have a couple people there that they hear that there's nothing going on, and I put the recorder down, I don't even have to touch it. I just put it down in the middle of a table or what have you, and I record, and I start asking questions, I can look at the voice activation and know when something's responding to me. And if I say, what is your name, or if I say, whatever it happens, whatever the questions I'm posing at the particular time, immediately after that, the blinking light starts to flutter, which means that something is actually talking.
That puts you way ahead of everybody else.
Oh yeah. And then I just go ahead and hit play after it's done recording, and boom, voila, that's what I got, the voices. Now, some of the things that I have for you tonight, they were done, some of them were done in the earlier years where, you know, like you said, you have to go through them, and you just have to, like, listen, and I mean, it can be a real long, drawn-out process. But I don't know, maybe somebody up there said, hey, you know, we're going to make Lou's life a little bit easier, and we're just going to do this where he can get it all the time. Yeah. I don't know. So.
It could be. Now, when you listen to these EVP sounds, keep in mind you're listening on your radio, so you got to listen. It's some of them are hard to hear. Some of them are quite obvious when you hear it. Lou, how do you like playing them for people? Do you like to tell them what they're going to hear, or do you just like to play it for them?
Usually, I mean, when I play it back, I mean, nowadays I play it back and I let them listen to it. And sometimes I won't even know what it's being said. Sometimes all of a sudden somebody will say, oh, my God, I just heard that it said, you know, we're sitting here waiting for you. And I'll be like, what are you talking about? And I'll play it back, and you can hear it as clear as day. I just didn't pick up on it. Because some people are a little bit more sensitive to EVPs than I am. I'm not the end-all, be-all of EVPs. But at the same time, you know, I like to let people listen to it. And, you know, I get, like, you know, some people will say, okay, well, it sounds like this or it sounds like this. But some of them, like you said, there's no way that you can deny that of what it's saying. Some of them are a little weird, but, you know, I mean, it's you're not dealing with something that's a human being actually talking into a microphone. You're dealing with something that has to build up enough energy to manifest itself onto the digital media. Or the digital media is picking up that residual energy from wherever it happens to be coming from.
All right, we've got 15 cuts. Why don't you set the scene for us by telling us a little bit about what you did, where you were. We'll play the cut, and then Steve back in Los Angeles, if you would, then we'll cut back to Lou. Lou, you can tell us what we heard just to kind of emphasize it again. Then we'll listen to it the second time. We'll listen to each cut two times, and then we'll move on to the next one. So okay. The first cut, tell us about this.
Okay, which one is it? Because I'm not this, firm on my computer.
this is, well, now, for me to tell you it, I guess I have to tell you the words. Well, I guess that doesn't matter, I guess. This one says a shortwave signal.
Okay, this is an example. And I put this one in here, George, because there's a lot of skeptics out there that will say, well, you know, what Lou or anybody else who is getting EVPs is stray shortwave signals or stray AM or FM, you know, frequencies that are straying off and you're picking it up. Well, you know, I've experienced that a couple of times. And that's all fine and dandy because, you know, you make your antenna like a dipole antenna, and next thing you know, you're going to be picking up all kinds of things. So in this particular example, we have me recording an actual, it sounds like Russian. I didn't really get too much into it because I could care less, but it sounds like some Russian that's being bled over from a shortwave somewhere, and, you know, this was because the ground was bad in the wire. It was actually picking it up and making it act as though it was an antenna.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, definitely sounded Russian.
So as you can see there, you know, what you're getting is some kind of stray signal, which is exactly what the skeptics are saying. That is an example of recording a signal when you're on an investigation and you got a broken wire.
How often does that happen, though?
Well, I mean, it depends on how often you change your wires. I mean, I like to change them, you know, every 2-3 cases, you know, to make sure that I have a nice fresh pair. Sometimes you get them out of the bag and they're bad and they have to be changed. But, you know, it could happen, I don't know.
Did you ever pick up your local radio station or anything like that, playing music, for example?
I've picked it up before like that, yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah. All right. All right, but Randy thinks everything is this.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is demonic voices, but going forward. Tell us about this.
Well, this was a case that I did in Westchester, Pennsylvania, that was exorcised by the Episcopal Church twice. It failed, and I had to go in there and take care of it. Because being a demonologist, I have rights that have been passed down to me, written for me, that are over and above exorcism that I will not do unless it's absolutely, positively necessary, because it's very, very dangerous. And in order to understand what I do, you have to understand that I am a positive demonologist. I don't want to call myself a religious demonologist because I'm not a man of the cloth. I am somebody who is a layperson. So I am, in a sense, a good or positive demonologist. There are other demonologists on the dark side that will bring an entity inside of them when they're inside of a house and then release it when they go outside. That is the dark side of demonology, of what I do, but I do not do that. I am a positive demonologist. So in this particular case, you will hear, this was the actual house blessing. And George, like you were talking about before, where you have to listen for hours and hours to these EVPs, during this house blessing, and even actually during most exorcisms, the priests do not like video cameras. It's just a no-no. So I never bring them in there. I always just audio document these things. What you're about to hear is the first time that I played this whole tape, this whole cassette, because that's what it was recorded on, you actually heard nothing. But a couple of weeks later, I said, you know what, let me go back and listen to this again for some reason. And lo and behold, this is what I got. And it's interesting because the first one you're going to hear says something, and in reverse, that's why I'm using it in reverse, it says the exact same thing, which makes it really weird.
All right, let's listen to the demonic voices forward. Here it goes.
This resolution peace.
All right, let's play that one more time, if you would, Steve, for us, as soon as you can get that queued up. And demonic voices forward.
This resolution
Okay, so that sounds like the priest in the background there that we heard, and then you could hear something squealing back there.
Right, you actually hear the priest in the foreground, and then in the background you actually hear what sounds like two distinct beings saying liar. That's what it sounds like.
All right, now let's listen to it backward. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Here we go. One more time, Steve. Well, there's definitely something there.
Isn't that bizarre? Forward and backwards sounds like a liar. Yeah.
Did you play the tape for the priest later?
I don't like to do that. I mean, some priests I can get away with that with, but
others,
some of them just don't. Some of them really just don't even like to hear anything that you got out of the house.
Next clip, we are here.
Mm-hmm. This particular clip was taken in Gettysburg. I had never been to Gettysburg before. Was out there with John Zaffis because we were doing an investigation down the road, and we said, let's go to Gettysburg and we'll go to Devil's Den. So we go there, and I get out of the car, I go up to the rocks, I ask the question, I think I posed something along the lines of, are there any soldiers whose graves have not been unearthed, or something along those lines. And the next thing that you hear is this.
All right, here we go. And we get incredible ghost stories from Gettysburg. Let's play that one more time, Steve. Sounded like we are here.
Yeah, and you can hear a plane going over by, so that was, you know, that's what that was. But, you know, Gettysburg is a very, very haunted place. I mean, there's a lot of tragedies that happen there. I mean, I've actually done EVPs, and I have them, but I have so many EVPs I have to dig through tons of stuff. But one time I was out there, I got a soldier telling me his rank. He started telling me his serial number. He was telling me his wife had died many years later, and he met her. I mean, all kinds of weird stuff that, honestly, if I was sitting here telling somebody normally, they'd be like, you're insane. But he got it on audio documentation.
And he just kept rambling and rambling?
He kept rambling on like he just needed to tell somebody for some reason.
That's something. Okay, our next cut, cut number five, Lou, God's Not In Here.
Well, this is not an EVP. This was, and I debated on whether or not I wanted to play this because this is giving recognition to this particular entity. This particular entity had followed me around from different cases. Years before, it gave me its name on a particular case. And on this case that you're about to listen to, this thing came out of this lady and started telling me all about my life and things that nobody, that the client would not have known because she was oppressed. She was using the Ouija board and things of that nature. And she went ahead and uttered out, you know, when I was trying to help her because she was going under. I mean, going under means that the demonic entity or diabolical entity is coming through and taking over control of her, and I was trying to get her to come back out. And what this thing says is just, it's just really bizarre because this is the kind of gruff voice that you get out of some of these people that are actually these demonic or diabolical negative entities, whatever you want to call them, are actually, you know, manifesting out.
Okay, let's hear it.
Kathy, I know you're in there. Kathy. Kathy, I know you're in there. You have to believe that God still loves you. God is inside
God's
of you.
God's not in here.
Tell Father Michael to get in here now, please.
I don't even like playing that. I really don't.
Oh, that is frightening,
I really don't.
Lou.
You know why, George, I don't like playing that? And I'm only playing it here tonight for you because I have to let people know that this stuff exists. This lady, I have so many people that entered inside of that house that had experiences. I had priests that were thrown. This lady was 100 pounds soaking wet. She threw a priest across the room like you would not believe. She went and did all kinds of crazy, threw blessed salt, and just all kinds of weird things. This is the lady that, in this particular house, I brought over a journalist who was doing a spoof on me. He, you know, he came over from the UK. He was going to do a spoof. He went ahead and I told him, I said, listen, before you go in this house, do not say anything about religion to this lady. Well, needless to say, a journalist on a spoof, which was unbeknownst to me, decided that he's going to do it. And when he did it, she damn near attacked him, and her voice changed into that which you just heard, and he flipped out. And he actually quit his job when he went back to the UK and decided to go on a worldwide search of the paranormal. He actually wrote a book about it. I didn't even mention it, but Could I give out the name of the book?
Oh, absolutely.
The name of the book is called Will Stewart Versus the Supernatural, and it actually lets him, he follows me around on three cases, and I'm like the highlight of the whole book because it tells about his experiences, why he left his job and went on this search. It's a pretty good book. It's on Amazon.com.
You sounded in that clip like you hightailed it out of there or something. Did you get jostled yourself?
Yeah, I was actually thrown out of the chair onto the floor, and when it, with the microphone was actually, on a boom over top of the table. And when she went under and the thing came out, it threw me on the ground, and then I went ahead and grabbed her after it was done and tried to tackle her to stop her from doing what she was doing. You know, she was over 18, so I was restraining her. And that's when I told somebody who was waiting at the door to get Father Michael, because that's who was on that particular case at that time. And, I mean, I had three different religions and three different priests in there because, let me explain this to you real quick. When you're dealing with the Roman Catholic Church, nothing against them, but it is the worst to deal with because I have to deal with people who say to me all the time, why isn't the church helping me?
Right.
Why am I giving money in the basket every week? The kids are going to go into Sunday school and everything else, but yet the priest is not helping me when I have a problem. And sometimes these people, because of this, they go into different religions. They will go to the Christian Missionary Alliance. They will go to whatever church that's going to help them. And, I mean, this case was just totally crazy because there were voices, as you're going to play in the next clip, there's voices that manifested out of thin air on this case, and it was really crazy. It was like second nature walking into this case because these things were like screaming, get out, and nobody knew where these voices were coming from. There were no microphone, or there were no speakers in the house or anything else like that. It got so bad in there, George, I went outside to the meter and pulled it to make sure that there was no electricity in the house. And I did that on many occasions because I investigated this particular case for almost 4 years.
I mean, I'd like to hear that one more time, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Lou, I know it gives you chills, but let's listen to cut five again, Steve. Just play it as soon as you get it in there.
Kathy, I know you're in there. Kathy.
That's your voice right there, Lou?
Yeah, that's me.
All right.
Kathy, I know you're in there. You have to believe that God still loves you. God is inside
God
of you.
God's not in here.
Tell Father Michael to get in here now, please.
Okay, Lou, now that came out of her mouth?
That came out of her mouth.
Oh.
Well, that's nothing, George. Some of these people, see, people don't understand. It's not like The Exorcist, a movie, but sometimes these things come out of people that are oppressed or worst case possible scenario, possessed, which is very, very rare, and I've only encountered it a couple of times. It blows your reality. And, you know, it's not like you're sitting there, okay, well, these people are throwing their voices. There's other paranormal activity going on around them at the time this is happening, which throws out the fact that they could be hoaxing anything.
I've got to tell you, I've heard a lot of clips and I've heard a lot of exorcisms. This one scares me. Assuming you're not driving, turn down your lights, get all cuddled up in your blankets, and get ready to listen to more EVPs with our guest Lou Gentile. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest Lou Gentile. Lou, let's pick up cut six if we can, and that is called Rambling Spirit. Tell us about this one.
That is the one where there was voices that were inside of this house, and I got probably 100 hours easy of just this particular entity that would ramble on inside of the house. And you'd be sitting there, And the next thing you know, in a bedroom or right in front of you, somewhere around you, you'd hear this voice that would just send chills right down your spine. And, you know, you had to be in the house for probably 6 months in order to become accustomed to it, because every time you heard it, it just sent chills right down your spine and you wanted to, like, run out of the house. But this is a clip where you actually hear the thing, like, almost screaming, screeching, and then it says, get out. I'm going to tell you that because I don't have we don't really have too much time to go into all this other stuff. But if you play the clip, you'll hear it, and you'll hear what I'm talking about.
Okay, here it goes. Why do so many of these, Lou, sound so angry?
Well, look at the cases that I'm getting involved with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not, that's why I really don't do Casper the Friendly Ghost cases anymore. I mean, honestly, because, you know, in the beginning when I first started helping people, I was doing, like, feeling cases. I feel bad in this room. I lost my keys. My keys moved. This moved, whatever. It's honestly, it's not that it's a waste of my time, but it takes a lot of time in order to experience the phenomena. When I go out on these investigations, somebody calls me up and says, you know, hey, look, I got something going on in my house. I was attacked by an unknown force, whatever it may be. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to experience it more than likely, you know, after I've screened the people. But, you know, it's unlike like UFOs where it's after the fact. You're going into a home where there's something there and there's a reason why it's there. And a lot of these things are very angry and ticked off. And I mean, that particular case was real bad because there were blasphemies that were screamed at this lady on my recorder. Naturally, I can't play them on air. But I mean, I have so much audio out of that particular house. And that wasn't an EVP. That was actually out loud. And, you know, for some reason I have this thing, I don't know why, about spirits screaming literally out loud, as you're going to hear in the undisclosed location, which is one of the big cases that I'm actually working on right now. But go ahead.
All right. The investigations you take, whether it's an exorcism with a priest or just an EVP sound, do you prefer one to the other?
Well, put it to you this way, and let me explain this so that we're all on the same page. You know, I'm a paranormal investigator, which means I go out into people's home and I investigate claims of the paranormal. But at the same time, I'm a demonologist, which means that I study the demonic. I catalog the demonic. I study the hierarchy of hell, the different things that go on in there. And you have to be able to understand that when you deal with those things and you get cases like this, you encounter different priests who will trust the information or evidence that you get, or who won't. And it's taken me many years in order to get the priest that I work with to say, all right, well, we don't have to go through all the hoops with Lou because we know what he's presenting to us is going to be the real deal instead of, you know, something that, you know, you walk into the house and nothing's going on. So I don't perform exorcisms. I assist in them. I have a system with many different types of exorcisms from the Roman Catholic Church all the way down to just different forms of Christianity and different religions. But I, you know, you ask me what I prefer. I don't like exorcisms. I really don't. Because honestly, I cry at exorcisms. And it really may sound kind of wimpy, but I cry because something inside of me just says, I can't believe that this is happening to this person. And I just, you know, when I look at that and I get that feeling during an exorcism, I don't know, I've still not even really been able to understand why exactly these things happen to these people. And when I can solve the problem for the people and an exorcism is performed, yeah, I feel naturally good, but still, during an exorcism, I cry. So if you, the bottom line to your question, I probably prefer getting EVPs to attending exorcisms.
They seem a little safer, don't they?
Well, yeah.
just a little. Our next couple cuts, we're going to play it back for you, full and then slow. Lou, it's called Cigarette. What is it?
Well, this is at the undisclosed location here in Philadelphia, and I call it undisclosed because there's a lot of legalities behind this. And this particular place, voices have manifested out of thin air, which is actually the next clip, but this is a very clear EVP of, see, when I take the recorder and I place it down and I hit record and I put my hand up and I let it do its thing. Right before that, sometimes I'm a smoker. I'll light up a smoke. I'll put the recorder down, hit record. I'll stand back maybe 3-4 feet, and then I'll pose questions. In this particular one, I went ahead, lit a cigarette, put the recorder down, hit record, and let it go. And what you're going to hear is actually it's saying cigarette. I think it's pretty clear.
Okay, here it is. We're going to play it full, then we'll play it slow. Here we go.
Beginning of EVP number 3, November the 20th, 12:30 a.m.
Right at the end.
Yeah.
That's all right. Let's play it slow now. Go ahead, Steve.
Now,
clear as day.
Yeah, I mean, now, honestly, George, does that sound like a shortwave signal?
No, not at all.
You know, does it sound like a Furby or, you know, I mean, these are things, honestly, that are invisible, that we are interacting with, that anybody can interact with. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you know, we can go on later with that, with the responsibilities of doing what I'm doing. But, you know, the bottom line is there's more to reality than the physical world we see. And slowly but surely, if not accelerated, you know, we're going to find out that is actually true.
How important is the area or the location that you happen to be in, be it a cemetery or a haunted house, as opposed to, let's say, just turning it on in your own place?
George, I have been inside of my car and turned the recorder on and gotten EVPs. I've been inside of a Faraday cage, turned the recorder on, and gotten EVPs. It doesn't matter. A lot of people are saying, well, maybe it's electrostatics and this and that, and maybe, you know, electrostatics is causing this thing to manifest or some type of manifestation from static. Static doesn't talk. And as you heard from that EVP right there, cigarette, I highly doubt for one instance in all the glory of the universe that everything came together after I lit a cigarette and had it say cigarette. Now, we were in a location where cigarettes are probably a very big factor in what the place actually used to be. So maybe it wanted a cigarette. I don't know.
Our next one is called Thin Air Screaming. And our engineer who is putting these together for us tonight, Lou, said, this is pretty intense stuff, George.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something, George. This is probably one of the scariest things that I have been in contact with. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not that these voices that you're going to hear screaming came out of thin air right in front of me, okay? The fact of the matter was I was in an enclosed situation where it was an enclosed area where I only had one way to get out. And the one way that I had to get out was right where the voices were, right in front of us. So I had no way to exit stage left, because let me tell you, anybody who would have heard these voices in thin air in this place in the dark, you would have probably just went berserk. I mean, it's once you hear these type of things and you experience it, it changes your reality. And some people, when they experience it, their reality, you know, it either goes one of two ways. It either goes to where the skeptical, logical part of their brain goes, oh, that didn't happen. It was this. It was a tree branch and all this stuff. Or it goes to the other end where it says, okay, we had this experience. We learned from it. You know, this really happened. But the skeptical side of our mind says, next time it happens, let's analyze it further, which is the kind of people that you want to be. You want to have skepticism to you. You don't want to just say everything's paranormal.
All right, here it is, and we're going to play it again for you twice. Here it is the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That chilled me, Lou.
Yeah, it's you know, when I listen to that, the only thing that really goes right through me is the very end where you hear that moan. And, you know, I would have, and the skeptical part of my brain said, all right, you know, maybe this happened, maybe it didn't. It'll never happen again in the same situation. But the next one that you hear, the next clip, you actually hear a woman screaming like, and it's in the same location. A woman screaming like she's getting her insides ripped out, and you hear a moan, almost ditto to what that last moan sounded like. Now, the interesting thing was that nobody caught on tape was the fact that there was that same moan that was recorded in there. Now, one thing, when you look at this undisclosed location, with that first clip that I played for you, there was video as well as my recorder to that.
Uh-huh, okay.
And it never, ever, I could never use a video camera in there the whole time until I brought a journalist with me from Ohio who turned her video camera on at that particular time when you're about to hear this clip with this lady screaming, which was right in front of us, and it was just crazy. But God.
Right, let's go back. Let's listen to the clip 9 again, and then we'll listen to then clip 10. Here we go. Wherever they are, I don't want to be there.
No, let's
listen to this second clip then, clip number 10. Here we go.
Did you hear the moan?
Yep, sure yeah. Did.
See, and that place is so weird because I intermittently take people that say, Lou, I want an experience. You know, I want to experience the paranormal. I say, okay, fine. You want to experience something? You come with me, you listen, and I'll show you, and you follow the rules. And we had this one guy with us that I took, you know, with the journalist. He didn't want to follow the rules. He was the first one who was like, this doesn't exist. But guess what? That night, he heard that. It was no big deal that he heard that. But something was around him, and as we went into this one particular area, something crept up behind him and grabbed the back of his neck he claims it was like fingers touching the back of his neck, and he like flipped out and he became like a little child after that.
Have you ever been with someone who was taken over, possessed while ghost hunting?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I look at it like this. And a lot of people, they have questioned whether or not you could be possessed or oppressed, which is more than likely to happen when you're out on these types of cases. You're only going to get oppressed or possessed or taken over if you want to be. That's why a lot of Christians say, oh, I can never be possessed by the devil or a demon. Well, if you do things like playing with the Ouija board and the pendulum and divination, automatic writing, where you use your body as a catalyst for this stuff to come in, you're basically inviting it in. And you're saying, yeah, come on in, have fun, and do what you got to do. A lot of the cases that I have done are a direct result of because of Ouija board involvement. Now, most people say, oh, well, Ouija board isn't nothing. That's just, you know, a game that's created by a game company. It doesn't mean anything. Well, that's fine and dandy. But guess what? You're using your body as a catalyst to communicate to the spirit. And what happens is that by having that kind of recognition, by using your body, you allow any spirit to do whatever they want. And you know, don't get me wrong. There's people that say, oh, I can protect myself with white light. Hey, great. More power to you. But guess what? The cases where it doesn't happen, they're the ones that I got to go on.
Exactly. And there are not a lot of people that have that ability to protect themselves.
Right.
You had mentioned something earlier, which is very important, about the responsibilities of doing what you're doing out there. It's a tough call, isn't it?
Well, it's one, like I said, it's something that I know my experiences. Nobody can take that away from here or from me. I'm not here to convert people. I'm not here to tell people, oh, yeah, this is how it is. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to help people, no matter what that may be in the field of the paranormal. If somebody has something going on in their home and it happens to be paranormal, great, I can help out. If it happens to be something in your head, well, then, you know, I know some people that, may be able to help. I deal with enough psychologists and psychiatrists, as well as clergy, that I think that I'm able to help people in any way that I can. You know, I don't charge for anything that I do, you know, except for gas and poles and lodging. But, you know, with the way gas prices are, how can't you? So, you know, I mean, as far as, helping people, that is my goal. I'm here to help people. That's what I want to do. I'm not about getting all recognition and fame and being on the cover of Time magazine. Those days are done. I want to help people, and if they have a haunting, if they have something going in their home, that's what I'm here to do. Now, one thing I want to stress, if I can, there is, you know, a responsibility, like we were talking about, that deals with what I do as far as EVPs. I do not suggest that anybody go home listening to this program, take a tape recorder, put it on their bed, and start asking spirits to a question, because you have to ask yourself one question. That is, if somebody has a problem, or let's say if you have a problem when you're doing that, how do you stop it? And most people can't answer that question.
You can't, and you could open up an incredible portal that you can never shut.
Exactly.
Lou, stick with us. Next hour, we're going to play some more EVP cuts, and would we save the best to last? No, I wouldn't do that. We're also going to take phone calls as well with our special guest tonight, Lou Gentile. And Lou, once again, how do people listen to your talk show?
Just go to my website, LouGentile.com, LouGentile.com.
Right off the internet.
Yep.
Well, you can't beat that. And, you know, when you have been doing this, you were, and we're not going to have time to finish the story, but yeah. I was told that you were almost tossed out of a window from a second floor.
Oh, yeah. That's in that Westchester case. And, you know, that was one of the first times and only times that I stood in front of a spirit and basically laughed and said, oh, you know, basically there was a black shadow in front of me. I stood up and I said, oh, my God, you really smell like you died.
Oh, no.
You know, it hit me, and I hit into the window, and the only thing that saved me from going out the window was my cross. And from that point on, you will never, ever see me on anything above one story with my back towards the window.
That is interesting. Phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM and the rest of our EVP sounds.